Welcome to Live the Fuel.
Welcome to Live
Welcome
the Fuel.
To Live the Fuel. Focusing on health, business, and lifestyle. And now your host, Scott Mulvaney.
All right, good day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another Live the Fuel show. So today we're at another live Starbucks. I swear to God, I got to get this show sponsored by Starbucks. But we're at Starbucks Allentown again, and here in Pennsylvania. And today we're going to be talking nutrition. And I'm really excited because we're getting a regular theme going here with Mind of the Athlete. You guys who have listened to the show regularly have heard from three of their PhDs on the team. So today we're flipping the coin here, and we're going to talk about health and nutrition with their sports nutrition guru, Aaron Sparrow. Am I saying Sparrow properly?
You sure are.
All right. So welcome, Aaron, to the show.
Thanks for having
me. And thanks for coming on. Thanks for making the time. And we probably already did like a small podcast episode before I even hit record just now, because we were both geeking out a lot. And one thing I found out about just now was you and I actually something coming on in common. You are from Tucson, Arizona originally.
Yes, sir.
And I used to fight fire out there in Arizona. And you actually knew where Pleasant Valley was, which nobody knows where that is. So that surprised me. And then also, we're actually pretty much the same age. You finished your degree in 99.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess catch our audience up a little bit about that, because you said you were like me. We you and I both went through kind of a major change.
Oh, major change. Yeah.
Yes, literally.
Yeah.
You were a major of legislature, you said?
I went in studying poli-sci, political science, because I wanted to go on to work in the government and become a legislator.
Okay.
And after taking a few poli-sci courses, which were interesting, and history courses, which were interesting, just kind of sort of realized it wasn't my thing. It was a little bit too, the personalities involved are a little bit too aggressive for my personality type, and I'm not a super assertive person, so maybe being in a courtroom wasn't the best idea for me. So learning that about myself as I, you know, matured and got older, but I always had a fascination as an athlete with nutrition.
Okay.
And always kind of grew up kind of curious about it, having coaches putting me on different diets, and always kind of wanted to understand why I was encouraged to eat differently during different training cycles and during different competition cycles. So
I'll say competition definitely changes your nutritional focus versus the regular everyday life.
Oh, yeah.
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 That was your first wake-up call, I guess?
That was totally my first wake-up call, yeah. And one of my swim coaches, one of the assistant coaches, was actually my older brother.
Oh.
So there was no cheating on the nutrition game plan.
Because he knows your home life.
He was at my home life.
Okay.
So there was no cheating.
Oh, that's a bummer and a blessing at the same size, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, a little bit of both.
Okay.
So I started taking some biology classes and loved it, and taking some nutrition classes, and it just took off for me. So I switched majors and totally changed course and basically started over from the beginning.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then obviously you stuck with that program.
Yeah, I love it. Yep.
And you used to do nutrition in Arizona before coming East Coast?
Yes,
I did. Was there any stops in between?
Oh my gosh.
Okay.
I moved all over the place.
So you were a bounce arounder in the U.S.?
I was a bit of a bounce arounder. I've lived in Long Beach, California. I lived in the Seattle area.
Oh, I love Seattle.
Yeah, it was a beautiful area. It was a lot of fun. And then back to Tucson again, and then out here to the East Coast.
Okay. And how long have you been on the East Coast now?
Just about 11 years now.
Oh, wow. So you were, because I know you said you were actually with the Mind of the Athlete team.
Mm-hmm.
To our listeners, they can learn about you and the other PhDs at mindoftheathlete.com.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's important that you've only been here less than 2 years, right?
At Mind of the Athlete, yes.
Yes. So you were independent before that?
I was independent and did wellness. And I was mom.
Okay.
So I spent a fair amount of time really focusing on raising my kids while they were still little.
Yeah.
And now they're not. Okay. So I get to pour a lot more time and energy into my career and my interests.
Nice.
Yep.
So do you, I guess, here's the interesting question for the Mind of the Athlete team.
Mm-hmm.
Do you miss the independence of entrepreneurship? Because you, as an independent, you are basically an entrepreneur,
mm-hmm.
right? Trying to build your own nutritional consulting
mm-hmm.
business.
Mm-hmm.
So what was that like? Was that transition a blessing? Was it?
I love it.
Okay.
I love it. Working with Dr. Spencer and the other people at Mind of the Athlete has been a huge blessing. It's a great team, and they become great friends.
I do like your team.
Yeah. We're pretty cool, aren't we?
I was like, I haven't even really planned out if I was going to have a regular co-host, but I'm loving what we're doing so far.
Nice.
And this is so late in 2016, so I say we just keep it all going. I've said the same thing to Megan, and I think you guys have great content to share.
Oh,
and I
great.
Love sharing what Mind of the Athlete is and what you guys are doing.
Oh, thanks so much. So, we definitely appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thanks.
I think it was powerful when I sat in, for our listeners, I sat in on a presentation you were speaking on body image, SYR CrossFit, with Dr. Megan Cannon.
Mm-hmm. And she's a rock star.
Yeah, you two work very well together, by the
way.
Oh,
thank
you.
So
I think that's a dynamic partnership when it comes to public speaking. I think you guys did a great job. And I forget, there might have been at least 30 people there that
night. Yeah, we had a good turnout.
At SYR CrossFit. So shout out to Rob Eschbach, because I just came from lifting with Rob Eschbach. So we were working on my snatch Olympic lifting technique. And
they're very gracious there. Yeah.
Okay.
And that body image issue topic is definitely something that needs time and attention. So I'm really grateful to have Dr. Megan to work with, because it's both a nutritional and a psychological issue.
And I think that's the powerful piece, is people forget that they think that body image is just for people maybe who are suffering or challenged with weight loss or maybe weight gain or whatever it may be. And there's different diseases and illness and psychological conditions, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it's funny, because I think that was a great presentation, because you had a mix of the audience. You could definitely tell if some people were working on weight loss, some people might have been working on some gains, and other people were legitimate athletes in that audience.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the biggest wake-up call for a lot of people was, guess what? Athletes have concerns too.
Oh, hugely. Oh my gosh. It
maybe even more amplified.
Yeah. Absolutely. Female athletes in particular. You see a lot of, as a sport nutritionist, I see a lot of female athletes that underfeed themselves. They underfuel themselves because this body image pressure to look a certain way, and they use their workouts and their training and their competing to help them manipulate the way their body looks. But unfortunately, they're undermining their metabolism, and they're dramatically handicapping their performance and the recovery.
Well, and the biggest thing that I've been learning, really relearning, I should say, is recently we had on a biochemist PhD researcher by the name of Dr. Tara.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Tara Sylvia. Sylvia Tara, sorry. And Sylvia Tara, literally her book came out 2 days ago, because I pre-bought it on Audible on Amazon.
Okay.
I'm an audiobook guy.
Okay.
And it's called The Secret Life of Fat.
Okay. Oh, I'd
so
love to hear more about that.
She spent years researching and understanding what fat as a cellular structure, and actually, as her book teaches us, I'm about halfway through, it's an organ. And it's a wake-up call to so many people, including doctors. Doctors are like, fat's an organ?
Like, well, meaning like an endogenous source,
your body
source,
requires
not,
fat.
Yeah, okay.
You actually, like, fat is designed to protect you. And there's so many things that fat is doing that people don't realize. And
oh, yeah.
One of the chapters that I had finished yesterday driving back from skiing in the car was what you're just talking about, which is elite athletes. And specifically, she had talked about gymnasts and dancers.
Mm-hmm.
And
we're seeing I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, and one of the dancers was, she was a young girl. She brought up as an example. And they've talked about how the girl walks out from training all day long, and her eyes are sunk back in her head, and she's frail and weak and very tired.
That breaks my heart.
And you could tell she's malnourished. And they said the only thing she had that day was a slice of orange and something else, because she had to maintain body weight image for being a ballerina type of dancer. And it's like, but what you don't realize is that you're actually starving yourself. Your body cannibalizes the fat, and then you still need a certain amount of fat on your body.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, some of the side effects are really it's a hormonal thing.
Oh, so my gosh, for women, absolutely.
The biggest thing her book rips the lid off is teaching people that all these things that you're doing in your life, right and wrong, are creating hormonal shifts on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
do you talk about that in your sports nutrition and what you're teaching athletes on too? Because I think they forget about this.
You know, I'm right now digging through a whole lot of information that's been in research done by a PhD female exercise physiology nutrition specialist. Her name is Stacey Sims, and she did a lot of her research on female athletes and pulling apart the female athlete, the hormone cycling, and the different effects of dietary interventions and training stressors on women. And it's a huge thing, and it's definitely something I address. And when you have a woman that becomes too lean, it can have a negative impact on her hormonal cycling and her health.
Oh. Like a lot of people don't even know what progesterone is, and it's like it's a naturally occurring hormone that if you are deficient in it or overabundant in it, and that's a whole other podcast.
Hormone biochemistry is no joke. It's complicated stuff. It's really complicated stuff. And an unfortunate thing is that so many athletes don't really understand the impact that these nutrients have on their body. I think there's so much fear-based messaging around nutrition. This is bad. This is bad. Mm-hmm. This, you know, you eat this, people feel shameful. I feel guilty. But people don't understand the power that nutrition has to build health and wellness.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of women, unfortunately, because of the body imaging that we're so surrounded by in media and the issues that that kind of creates, it creates a really unhealthy relationship with their food.
Yeah.
And so learning to...
Stay tuned. So we were just, for our listeners, we were just shooting a quick Facebook Live video while we were doing our audio. But there's so much going on here at Starbucks, I don't really think... That's why you want to listen to the podcast, all right? Yeah. That's why, to our listeners, that's why when you find this podcast, or you find any podcast, what Aaron and I are talking about right now is awesome. And the beauty of it is the audio is so pure, you can really focus on the content. And Facebook Live is fun and all, and I do that just for fun. But I'm like, I'm not going to run it the whole time because we're at Starbucks, man. There's like all kinds of stuff running in the background and noises and everything else. So, but your point just now on athletes not realizing the impact of hormones, the right nutrient density.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the problem. It's not necessarily their fault.
No, not at all. There's so much misinformation out there.
Oh, my God. All right.
We're in
the Lehigh Valley, Pennsylvania. So for our outsiders outside this area, because I've actually already noticed some downloads in some other countries, too. So people don't understand who is one of the biggest publishers, and I have a lot of respect for them, Men's Health, Women's Health, everything else.
Mm-hmm.
We're based right here in Emmaus, Pennsylvania. You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah. Yeah, Rodale Press.
So Rodale is an awesome company. They're doing so much for the running community, and they run the Runner's World event, and there's a lot of marathons, half marathons, everything else, but even they are not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of content. I tell people, like, stop reading magazines.
I don't want to ruin Rodale.
I love Rodale. But when you got somebody who's a beginner and they don't know what they're talking about and they don't know where to go, I tell them, like, you know what, take a hiatus from the magazines.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get you some real knowledge first. Then when you're ready, you can go back to buying the magazines if you were looking for entertainment.
That way you can kind of sort through good information versus bad information, misinformation.
Because
you
can read one article in the same issue, and then halfway through the magazine, you can read another article, and it's a complete flip on what you just read on the earlier article. So it's like, and look at the people who aren't athletes, let alone the athletes, and everybody's like, wait a minute, which one do I listen to? Which one
do I
follow?
There's so much confusion out there. Yeah. There's so much confusion.
So you've been doing this since coming out of school in 99.
Mm-hmm.
How do you answer that question? When people go like, oh my God, what article did I listen to? I mean, how do you try and help people that way?
Obviously, I have a bias. They need to go to a professional who has a science background that can filter out the noise and understands how exercise and dietary patterns are going to affect and impact different people differently. There are a ton of different protocols out there. And there a lot of different protocols exist because a lot of different protocols work. You've got different people who are going to respond differently to different types of protocols, but working with a professional who kind of knows how to match the right protocols to your lifestyle, your need, your sport, and your physiology is really important. If you just pick up a magazine, you're probably getting information that was written by a journalist without a science background.
True.
Who's just accumulating information that sounds good.
And I'll tell you, there's good journalists. I know a few people that are journalists, and they're trying.
Yeah.
They are trying. But admittedly, even the journalist, like to your point, is only as good as the contacts that they've made and the research that those contacts have done.
Absolutely.
So I don't even want to try and be a journalist. That just sounds beyond exhausting and frustrating because, like, they've got to sort through, number one, who's going to even answer their phone call to give them information?
Mm-hmm.
And then the ones who actually did say yes, are their credentials legitimate? Is their research legitimate? I don't know. Mm-hmm. There's so many variables that can be thrown
So much. And even when you get into the PhD world and people doing the research, you get discrepancies in thought and different protocols. So even as
normal.
A professional, that's totally normal. But even as a professional, trying to sort through that noise and find the right information is very challenging. So, and I don't fault journalists at all. It's not an easy topic to sort through.
So on that topic, you are going to differ than other nutritionists, just like PhD researchers are going to differ on some other things.
Absolutely.
This is why I think if we had to dilute this down to the basic level, I think the biggest thing that I always try and teach people is, like, you can't knock it till you try it, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I know that's a scary step to take, and I don't know if you would agree with this, but how would you help somebody wrap their head around that? Like, okay, can't knock it till you try it, meaning, okay, listen, if someone says try this, if you want to take the time and do the research, if you're super lazy and you don't want to take the time to research, then try it. If your body reacts in a negative way, I know that's a big risk to take, but it's like, you'll know. Your body will tell you if it likes it or not.
Your body
doesn't
lie.
Yeah.
It doesn't lie.
It's an amazing machine. That's why I call it a machine. I'm like, your body will adapt, compensate, and like, even if it tells you it doesn't like it and you keep feeding it, ergo, a lot of people who have issues with this whole thing about food allergies, I know that's a whole different topic, but there's people who keep feeding stuff into their body that they don't know their body doesn't like.
Mm-hmm.
And what they don't know is your body will adapt and it will compensate around that. And a friend of mine had no idea that he had issues with certain grains until there's another podcast where I listen to called Vinny Tortorich, and he started the movement of no sugars, no grains. And it's kind of centered around that ketogenic style lifestyle, but like removing excess sugars and processed grains from your lifestyle to reduce the inflammation in the body. And so I was like, why don't you try this? And again, once again, don't knock it till you try it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, to be fair, you're not missing anything, actually, if you think about it. Like, we're just talking about cleaning up your diet and removing a lot of those extraneous processed foods, like all the crackers and chips and all that crap. And then it's okay, now I was like, here's the best part. You do that for at least 90 days or 16 weeks. Then, if you really do miss it that much and you've gotten past the withdrawal phase, maybe try introducing it back in and then listen to your body and see how it reacts.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, again, I'm not a nutritionist, but I've seen this time and time again. It's like people all of a sudden are like, oh, my God, I really don't like that. Or my body did something really bad.
Mm-hmm.
Or my skin dried out. Or all these different variables. I'm like, this is how it works. Like, you remove it. Let your body clean up, and then you slowly introduce it back in.
Now, and see how you respond. Yeah.
You as a sports nutritionist, how do you, I guess, formulate that? I mean, do you do some of the same practices?
Absolutely. Well, what I try to do is I listen to my clients, firstly, and listen to, you know, do they have GI distress issues? Do they have inflammation issues? Are they feeling, do they have skin issues? And then I start to kind of pull apart kind of where they're at mentally, because what you say is true. You don't knock it till you try it, but not everybody's mentally there for that readiness to change.
Important so, tie back to Megan and the rest of the PhD team. Mindset is huge.
Huge.
We talk a lot of mindset on this show.
Ketogenic diets can be beneficial for some people, but they're not that easy to adapt to and change to if you're not ready mentally for that kind of a lifestyle shift.
Yes.
So learning where my clients are at and then meeting them where they're at and trying to help them progress as best as I can along a healthier spectrum. Because if you can't take somebody's lifestyle and turn it 180 degrees and expect good adherence.
Your point on meeting them where they're at, I think that's a great point, because the mindset piece takes time.
Oh,
right?
There's so much behavior around food.
Right?
Yeah.
So
behavior and food are so intertwined. You can read it on paper and it looks great, but there is a huge emotional connection with food.
I got into this conversation with another guy I know. He's a regular follower of the show, and he and I are working together on some nutritional game plan for him. And shout out to Brian if you're listening, and I know you are. And he, he's got some weight loss goals, and he used to be a personal trainer.
Okay.
So he knows how to be fit, but life gets in the way. You start a family, you have a kid, you know. We're both mountain bike junkies, and he's got the greatest mindset. But even he and myself, I told him the same thing. I'm like, bro, like when I go through a new change, it takes time. Everybody.
And you have to be ready
perfect.
For that, yeah.
Like right now, we were joking around about me meeting up with Rob earlier at SYR CrossFit. So I'm pulling myself out of my normal programming literally this month, and this is the first week where I'm like, okay, when I'm local, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, if I'm local, I'm going over there at 10:30 when Rob works out by himself, and I'm following his Olympic lifting program.
Okay.
Because I just need to shake things up. And I wanted to work on strength. But me having to focus that hardcore on Olympic lifting, I've never done it that before. So I'm outside of my norm. Mm-hmm. All right.
Oh, outside of your routine. That's uncomfortable.
What's going to happen, mm-hmm. right? Your mind's mm-hmm. going to throw up those walls. You're going to find excuses. You're going to struggle a little mm-hmm. bit. I had a meeting run long today. So I actually got frustrated. Like, I'm at the end of the meeting. I'm texting Rob saying, hey, man, I'm sorry. I'm going to be a little bit late, but I'll be there. And he didn't care because, mm-hmm. like, he's going to still work out anyway. But these are the steps I got to do for myself to keep mm-hmm. myself that focus. Like, get there, man. Mm-hmm. Even if you get there late, like, put in the reps. Like, and then I had to cut short to come here. But I've still put in the time and put in the reps. But that's some of that mental exercising, and I got to keep doing that.
Yeah, now put the food component on that.
Yeah.
And your food, there's food in your environment almost everywhere you go. There's yep. visual triggers everywhere you go.
Oh, yeah.
So trying to learn how to get past some of that mental piece is very, very legitimate for most people. Well, you go walk into your office and there's a tray of cookies. How do you walk past that 100 times and not eventually grab a cookie? It's very hard to do for most people.
After years of putting in the reps, I do it all the time. And people mm-hmm. are like, how do you live your life? And I'm like, I live my life to the fullest. I don't know about you. Have a cookie, live a little. And I'm like, no.
That's the antithesis for some people.
I was like, that's your choice.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, I've literally cleaned up my body so much that I love my mother and I love the holidays, but it's painful to eat a piece of dessert for me because mm. I've cleaned up my diet so much now.
You feel sick when
you
eat it.
It's like a well-oiled machine. Mm-hmm. If I put the bad stuff in, it doesn't like it.
Yeah.
But to be fair, you as a nutritionist, okay, mm-hmm. it's one bad meal. We were joking around this on another podcast. We're like, it's not a cheat day. It was a cheat meal, if you want to call it that. Mm-hmm. I don't even like that term.
I don't like that term
I'm
either.
Like, you know what?
It's about balance.
Exactly, from the psychology piece. Mm-hmm. And I like how the Vinny guy, the other podcaster, Vinny Totterich calls, he's like, you know what? He's like, we need to put a little life into living once in a while.
Absolutely. You need to enjoy your traditions. You need to enjoy your family. Yes. You need to enjoy the holidays. You need to make that. It's special. It's a treat. And that's okay. You need to disassociate from all the shame and the guilt that's associated with it.
Well,
embrace
it's not so much
it.
Shame.
Food
it's just like, I just know physically
fun.
How my body reacts. I'm like, oh man. Like, I'm like, yeah. I know that on the drive home, mm-hmm. quick tip to the listeners is when you cut excess sugar out of your life, your energy curves start literally smoothing out and being
absolutely.
More consistent.
Mm-hmm.
So when I eat I eat like a big, heavy holiday dinner, like mm-hmm. on Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. and then you have a big ass, big pumpkin pie or an apple pie or whatever, and then I make the hour drive home.
I crash.
I'm like, I'm tired. My eyes are getting heavy.
Yep, yep.
So I'm like, dude, that's how cool this is, though. Once you put in the time mm-hmm. and you keep breaking through those personal mental barriers.
Mm-hmm. And getting that self-awareness and understanding your body
that's
better.
That's the biggest thing mm-hmm. people don't understand is that your body is such a powerful machine. It will communicate to you. But
yes,
so many people
100%.
Don't know how to listen.
Mm-hmm.
How do you teach people how to listen?
You know, that's a really great question because it's one of the things I really love most as a nutritionist is helping people to teaching them through a more intuitive process. You know, you can give people...
Is it the light bulb moments?
Like yes.
When people, you see the light bulb go off with
okay,
them?
Okay, so how bad does it make me of a person that when my clients come in to see me, they're like, oh my gosh, I had a piece of cake last night and I felt horrible. I'm celebrating the fact that this client felt horrible, but I'm so happy that they recognized that the cake made them feel sick, that their body
but
was
again,
responding
like you
differently.
Said, but like
they
you
were
just
aware.
Said earlier was, it wasn't, they're not... You're talking about a physical.
Physical,
response,
they felt
right?
sick.
Right.
Yes,
we're not
and
talking
there's
about the psychological.
There's for a lot of women, there's also the psychological component,
and
but
that's
the physiological
true.
Is what I'm
and
talking
that takes,
about.
That, in my experience, that takes years to overcome to build that, and sometimes you never get over it. You
it's a paradigm shift. It's a paradigm shift. Learning how to nurture and nourish your body and then take care of your body. And a lot of times people will even talk about, well, I'm having a salad. Like they're feeling punished. Well, I had cake last night, so now today I'm just going to eat a salad. No, make it an empowered choice. Yeah. I'm choosing to take care of my body. I want that salad because it's going to make me feel better and I'm going to feel healthier from it.
I joke around all the time. People are like, well, what do you eat? I'm like, whatever I want. Well, no, you don't. Like I said, whatever I want.
Mm-hmm.
I
mm-hmm.
said, not what you want me to eat. I was like, the reason why I'm reaching new levels of performance, and like I turn 40 next year, I can call, if anybody from my high school listens to the show or finds a show, I can call half of them out. Half of my graduating class, I can call them out right now, and they don't live anywhere near the lifestyle I live. And maybe they don't want to, and that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, like, it is a lifestyle. And it takes a commitment. mm-hmm. but a positive commitment. Like, I don't look at it as a negative. People are like, oh, absolutely how do you not want to have pie? I'm like, because I don't need it. Like, I don't know. Like, mm-hmm. once you feel how your body performs and responds, like, your mm-hmm. sleep habits improve, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. your thought clarity throughout the day, mm-hmm. the
your sustained
the
energy
of crashes, energy mm-hmm. crashes, right? Everybody's mm-hmm. like, oh, I always have the coma around 10, 11 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, I'm high as a kite at 10, 11 yeah. o'clock in the morning, yeah. dude. Like I joke around about the bulletproof coffee. Like, mm-hmm. I have, like, a coconut oil in my coffee thing. Mm-hmm. Like, well, mm-hmm. I'm fueling my body and my brain mm-hmm. with healthy fat sources. Mm-hmm. So teaching people about fat versus sugar, mm-hmm. okay? I don't know how heavy you get into that, but I'm a big advocate for that. It's like, there's healthy fats.
People oh, amen. Yes, absolutely.
15, 20 years of freaking moronic marketing and government-funded crap to get people to cut.
Tell me how you really feel, Scott.
Oh, well, I'm hoping to get you on the soapbox with me. I just want you to follow up here because I know you're. I know it's in you. But am I wrong on this? I mean, I'm only a crazy obsessed mm-hmm. 6 years of commitment, learning more and more about it every single mm-hmm. year mm-hmm. kind of guy. I didn't go to school for it. I am life taught.
Okay, I got to tell you a story. So I was getting my degree under the old American Heart Association dietary protocols, where okay. they were the low-fat, 60% carb dietary protocols. And so I was educated through the low-fat phase. I've come out, I've watched, you know, the science explode and the benefits of fats come out. One of my professors, when I was getting my degree my senior year, she had just published research showing an increase in coronary artery disease under the dietary protocol. So it was right at the cusp
and
of
again,
that changing.
And how many people were listening when she published that, though, right?
You yeah. know what? I had another professor, another RD PhD, who marked me. I was kind of a rebel. She marked me down on a paper.
I'm liking you more every moment. I like the word rebel.
Well, I was at the University of Arizona. Mm-hmm. So I had access to some of the Center for Integrative Medicine that was run by Dr. Andrew Weil, and he is a huge proponent of healthy fats
sure.
and a huge proponent of an anti-inflammatory diet, and all of that was starting to come out in the late 90s. And so he was huge on the salmon being great, you know, because of the omega-3s sure. being good for helping to prevent coronary artery disease. And so I put...
Yeah, if it's fresh, wild caught, it does have a richer, healthier, natural
oh,
fat
absolutely,
content 100%. Versus farm-raised mm-hmm. and all that.
100%. So I actually put salmon on one of my meal plans for a coronary artery disease patient and got marked down because it was a high-fat fish.
Yeah.
The same professor also insisted that we use margarine with hydrogenated
oh,
oils.
Which is completely manufactured. There's
uh-huh.
nothing natural about it.
Uh-huh.
Like,
so
oh, it
I
comes
had,
from vegetables.
So
oh, really?
You talk about the confusion that everybody else suffers from.
I don't know.
I had two RD PhDs with two completely diverse perspectives.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's very confusing stuff. But absolutely, healthy fats, yeah, amen, 100%.
Yeah,
100%.
Like, people are afraid of eggs still.
Oh,
still.
I talk people off the ledge all the time.
Here at Starbucks, they got a damn egg white
eat
sandwich.
Eat your yolks.
I'm like, hello? Hello? It's you're eating one-third of the nutrition, not even one-third, like less than one-third of the nutritional mm-hmm. value of that. Like, the egg is probably one of the most perfect foods
oh,
that I've ever
yeah,
stumbled
totally.
Across.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Eat your yolks. The
my
yolk
best
part
is loaded
with
like
nutrients.
Five egg omelets, six egg omelets. There's a place mm-hmm. in Bethlehem. I have my own six egg omelet on the menu. I get them with a big, big
your
workout.
Your own six egg omelet?
Oh, yeah, dude.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. They're like, I've Instagrammed that. I've had people come from Harrisburg to go eat my omelet. And people are like, what do you put in it? I'm like, it's stuffed full of veggies, bacon,
mm-hmm.
and then once in a while when I'm feeling frisky, I throw some Gouda cheese in there, you know? But
nice.
The People's Kitchen does a great job with that. And mm-hmm. the best part is people are like, how do you eat all that? And I said, I don't know, I just sit down and eat it. I mean, granted, I mean, it is a large meal,
mm-hmm.
but I've never once in my life counted calories.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that, personally.
I don't. The BMI is outdated.
Oh, terrible. Mm-hmm.
I don't own a scale anymore.
Good
the funny
for
thing
you.
Is, when I do use a scale, it's at the gym about once a month. When I'm in the wintertime, I'll use it now because I need to put weight on. So,
yeah, right.
because of my biking season, all mm-hmm. my endurance training, I need to put weight on. So, I do mm-hmm. want to know if I'm actually gaining, but I don't, I might weigh like every month or two. Weekly weigh ins, BS. I'm sorry.
You know,
that's me anyway.
No, I couldn't agree more. And I think it creates a really unhealthy relationship with your body.
Yeah.
Especially for women, they get so obsessed at that number that they do things to make that number smaller that actually has a negative impact on their health. We're so enculturated to think that making that number smaller makes us healthier, but that's not always the case. Like, you can make yourself very unhealthy.
Full circle back to the hormones, right?
Mm-hmm.
You put yourself through a short-term starvation thing. And again, let me clarify something. I'm a big advocate because I'm the Isogenics guy. I found their nutritional cleansing and detoxing, and I never really got into cleansing until that. Mm-hmm. But because it was a supported process and it was a supported fast, and the results that I had gotten, and then I researched, like, oh my God, fasting's been around for centuries. Mm-hmm. It's a part of
intermittent
religion.
Fasting can be a really potent
now
protocol.
I play around nowadays more with intermittent fasting. Mm-hmm. So again, there's a right way and wrong way to do this stuff.
Yes.
These 5-day juice fasts, I don't.
No,
moronic.
Not a fan of those.
No, you're getting all your essential nutrients from.
You're
from
actually
juices.
Putting your body under a tremendous amount of stress doing that. And if the process
is
creating
stress
in your body, it's not a healthy response.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when the body's under stress, and it's the firefighter in me, there's a fire building.
Mm-hmm.
So what does the body need to do? It needs to put the fire out. What is the fire inside of a body? It's inflammatory responses. It's inflammation. So it's like, wait a minute, you're actually doing things to stress your body out more and create more inflammation,
and
more
actually,
hormonal fluctuations.
And more toxin production because your body's creating more toxin because there's not the nutritional support that your body needs.
And that's a big wake-up call for a lot of people, too, when I start teaching them about toxicity. And they're like, well, what do you mean? Like, listen, yes, it's the air you breathe, the water you drink, the food we're consuming. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's water tests being done right here locally that there's so many people on pharmaceuticals that they can't clean the water enough. They find trace pharmaceuticals in your water supply. It's just
that's disgusting.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
So you got that now in your body, whether you like it or not. You can't change that. But what you can do is start maybe researching. And again, this might not be for everybody right away, but okay, don't count it out. Like, again, don't knock it till you try it. Like, I couldn't criticize it until I tried it.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to lose muscle. I didn't want to lose weight. The first time I went through a 30-day program where I did, like, a nutritional cleansing and detoxing, at the end of that month, I measured at the beginning of the month, measured at the end after my firefighting season, and I had dropped, I think, a total of 5 pounds.
You did a
cleanse
during your firefighting season?
No, no, no.
Oh, I was going to say,
afterwards.
That's not a good idea.
No. Okay. Part of that.
We need to talk.
No, no. Okay. That would have never happened. I did experiment. The second year in fire, I did experiment with intermittent fasts on my recovery days off, just to kind of, like, hit a little reboot. But that was only once in a great while. But no, I would wait until the end of the fire season and go through a full-blown kind of reboot cycle once I learned how to do it.
Yeah, you don't ever want to cleanse when your body's under physiologic stress, and firefighting season for you would be a big physiologic stress.
I mean, really, in that 30-day period, I did 2 48-hour fasts, and they were supported nutritionally, and the right nutrients were getting in your body while you were going through the process. And oh, my God, my energy, after 2 weeks, shot through the roof. I dropped, the first time I had dropped 7 inches over my whole body, and, like, I didn't lose any muscle. Mm-hmm. All I did was go, and again, I'm on an audio track here, so I basically kind of, like, shrunk up because I was big looking, but I was inflamed. Mm-hmm. I was sore. Mm-hmm. My body was under a lot of stress from 6 months of 16-hour firefighting shifts. So all that accumulated exhaustion, the accumulated stress.
Our bodies are really good at detoxifying themselves. The unfortunate thing is that we're exposed to so many more toxins now, and our bodies can get overwhelmed. And so they do need
Thank
a supportive process.
That. I wanted to bring that up today. That's awesome. I always want to remind people, I'm not teaching my body how to detox.
It knows
all's
how
I'm
to do
doing,
it.
All that program did was get it healthy enough and get it back on the right track, so to speak. And again, the average person's daily lifestyle is not healthy enough to do a full, proper, normal detoxification, right?
No,
your liver
you should
and
have
are beat to hell.
Yeah, and one of the things that makes me nervous, because especially this time of year, around New Year's, the cleanse things becomes a really big thing. Because, of course, everybody's not feeling so great coming off the holidays, and they feel like they're heavier, they want to lose weight. But this is probably one of the more challenging seasons to do a cleanse. Because your body is already stressed.
Yep.
You're exposed to more viruses, more bacteria. Your immune system's working overtime. It's not a good season.
You have the cabin fever. More people's homes are closed up. They're tighter. You have staler, poor air quality. I do a lot of work in that work with one of my clients, too. We do a lot of stuff with air quality. It's crazy how toxic your own home is.
Yeah.
It's
so
disgusting.
One of the things I think sometimes that gets overlooked with the cleanse is it stresses your body a little bit. So if your body's already stressed, maybe not the best season to do it. Because you're kicking up toxins. Your body has to work hard to kind of help protect itself from that. So I find this time of year, it's people want to do it because they don't feel well. But I think one of the first things you need to address, you don't feel well. Let's build up a healthy nutrition foundation so your body's a little stronger and address a cleanse a little later in the season.
Well, and it's funny too, because I thought the same thing, because the first time I did one was in November of 2010. Mm-hmm. And then I continued it into the winter season. And I was worried about that too, because, okay, here in the Northeast, you got the cold season moving in. Your body actually literally is reprogramming its fat cells and hormonal shift to sometimes store a little more because it's colder. You got to stay
warmer. Yeah, we go through a little mild hibernation.
Yeah,
we can't separate ourselves from our environment.
No, it's natural. Yep. Your body's going to want to do this stuff. So you got to work with that. But on that point, I will say, like, I was also using their nutritional shakes on the days that I wasn't cleaning. So because the nutrient density was what I was learning about. And it reminded me, like, I grew up in farming. I forgot that, you know, farming has changed since the 80s. The nutrient density of our food 20, 30 years ago was
a lot better.
The
mineral quality in the soil is very different.
Yeah, so I'm sure you studied that too. Yeah. So it's like, so yeah, part of that program was I was also jacking my nutrition up hardcore.
Good.
So
yeah.
It was getting the body healthier to handle that stress and that
and
workload. So
I also get concerned people using, and the idea of a cleanse, there's no standardized protocol for a cleanse. There's
That's
all
why
kinds
I like
of
to
stuff
clarify.
Out.
Everybody thinks all cleansing is the same.
Oh,
yeah.
So vastly
That's
different.
Why I
Some
use,
of them can be terrible for you.
They have a whole Isogenics, they have a whole doctor team, and they have a legal guidance team to use the right verbiage. That's why every time I tell people, this is not cleansing. This is a nutritional cleanse, because their whole process is you got to jack your nutrition up. This goes back to the root cause. So we can take
Isogenics. You don't want to be starving your body during a cleanse.
It's health, your nutrition. Like, so let's take Isogenics off the equation, or really any cleanse we're talking about. Like, guys, to your point, if you're cleansing or fasting or anything, that's only once in a great while. You have your lifestyle every single day should be nutrient density. Like, what are you putting in your body to get better results out of it? And even if we take cleansing off the table, this goes back to you with sports nutrition. Athletes, why do you think athletes care so much about their nutrition? Because they need peak performance.
Yeah, absolutely.
And this goes for regular, everyday people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%, totally.
You know, are we fueling our bodies the right way? Most of them are not.
No, most people are not. And even athletes struggle with that dramatically.
And admittedly, to your point earlier in the conversation, again, another full circle, is they don't know. I mean, they're trusting, if they're college athletes, they're trusting what's being taught to them in the school. They're trusting their coaches.
They're trusting the magazines.
Yep. The coaches probably are reading the same magazines.
The latest book that's come out, which...
Or if you're out of school who has a RPhD or whatever you were saying earlier... Mm-hmm. Your coaches could be following that one other PhD
they
person's studies.
Because look at the alphabet soup after their name. They look like they know their stuff, but they may not have kept up with current research just because somebody,
I can't stand when I go to a CrossFit competition and I see people eating a Rice Krispie treat after their workout. Like, well, I need the sugar. I'm like, it's manufactured processed crap. Like, well, yeah, but, you know, it's all about the glycogen restores. And I'm like, what? I said, what magazine did you read that in? And I was like, let's go back to, again, how are you sourcing these ingredients? Where are these minerals and nutrients and nutrition coming from?
Wherever you have the opportunity, you should go for nutrient density.
Yeah.
You do need some glycogen replenishment, especially if you're going to be going through multiple phase tournament-style stuff like you do with the
sustained
CrossFit competition.
Sustained workouts,
you've
got to
replenish that. And you take advantage of the anabolic window, replenish that muscle glycogen, but do it from a source that's not going to spike your blood sugar in an unhealthy way, shut off your ability to be mobilizing fats and utilizing fats as a fuel. Yep. You need a little bit of, you need that glycogen replenishment, but you need to do it in a smart way that keeps you from blocking off other fuel sources at the same time.
Yeah. I mean, I do love following that guy, Vinny, because he's one of these, part of that NSNG lifestyle is he, and the ketogenic research and ketogenic lifestyles is literally trying to get your body to a fat adapted state. And that's, again, that's another thing. It's like, that takes time, and not everybody is going
to
adapt the
same
way, and you've got to be very careful with it.
Yeah, very, very careful, and not everybody's going to adapt well. Not everybody's biochemistry is going to tolerate ketogenics.
Intermittent fasting is a part of that process. But learning what it is to be in a fat adaptive state and what is not. And I've gotten better at it myself. I've been working on this for a year now, and I'm not perfect at it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I tell people, like, listen, I'm not the guru, man. Like, I will tell you some of the things that I'm experimenting with and I'm trying. Mm-hmm. And but I was like anything else, you can't knock it till you try. Like, I'm experimenting with it. But mm-hmm. when I get to that sweet fat adaptive state, I love the sustained energy. I'm burning mm-hmm. fat. I'm not, because I don't have a high sugar diet. Mm-hmm. I don't have a lot of processed crap in there. So, again, it goes back to, like, what you just said, nutrient density.
And matching the nutrient need to the athlete and what they're doing.
Yes.
So ketogenics is not for every athlete. There are some athletes it's good for, and some can benefit from it, some not so much.
Most power lifters are not going to be doing a ketogenic lifestyle.
Yeah. I like to work with protocols that were designed by the 2008 Olympic team dietitian Bob Sibohar, one of my mentors. It's called metabolic efficiency training.
Oh, yes. And it's fat. I read about that.
Yep. It's fat adaptation.
Does he have his own site?
He does, yep.
Okay.
Yep, I'm certified through him, mentored through him. He's great. Got his site, got books. He's a wealth of knowledge.
We'll have to get that linked into the show notes then for the episode,
because
that's good stuff to follow up on.
Yeah,
if you have that, get that to me afterwards. We'll make sure it's on your page when you go
out. Athletes need their muscle glycogen. They need it. That is your quick go-to power source for anaerobic fueling. You need that glycogen. So if some athlete, going ketogenic isn't the best idea for most athletes, but overcarbing isn't a good idea either.
Right.
So periodizing and utilizing your carbohydrates to match your training cycle and to match your recovery cycle and to match your sport is really important, so that you're not encouraging a high inflammatory environment in your body by consuming too much carbohydrate.
And this is going to be a great subject we can help close the episode out. It was on the carb piece of it. But real quick on the Vinny point was, like, the guy's like an ultra marathoner, does 100-mile bike rides.
Endurance athletes do a little bit better on the ketogenics.
That guy will literally take a Ziploc. And his wife is one of the old James Bond women from the movies. Like, he married well.
Congratulations.
Beautiful woman, and she's aging amazingly. But she's also an ultra runner.
Okay.
And they literally, and people are like, oh, carbs and fats. And I'm like, yeah, dude, they literally go onto a run for training. They'll do she does a 20-mile training run. She has a little Ziploc baggie with olives, mm-hmm. Italian meats and cheeses, and she'll do like some olive oil because mm-hmm. she's got healthy fats. So she's not carrying around these gel packs full of processed sugars.
Oh my gosh, those can wreak havoc on your GI tract too. Some people get terrible GI distress from those.
I learned that the hard way. I didn't know this all the time. Back in 2008, I did my first marathon down at the Marine Corps Marathon down in D.C., the People's Marathon. Mm-hmm. I didn't know any better. I was reading the magazines back then. That was before fire and everything else. I was like, oh, okay. You hit one of the rest stops. They got
carb load.
They got carb load after carb load. Mm-hmm. Boom. The energy curve fluctuation was so brutal.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the most painful, until firefighting, that was one of the most painful things that I had ever gone through.
Absolutely. And that's why Bob developed these protocols. He was working with Olympic-level triathletes, and they were suffering from GI distress and all kinds of energy crash and energy-sustaining issues. And he's a fantastic scientist and an incredibly curious, out-of-the-box thinker.
I'm going to look at your links when you get them over, because I need to freshen up on that stuff. You gave me some more stuff to do. I'll give you some books. You give me some stuff. This is good.
You know, ketogenics is a hot topic right now, but I like Bob's protocols because he works very well in a gray area. You become more fat adapted, but you utilize carbohydrates smart.
Yeah.
So I don't like the macronutrient witch hunt. Our bodies need protein, our bodies need fats, our bodies need carbohydrate. We tend to oversimplify because it makes it easy mentally to get our heads around.
For listeners, okay, because this is something I'm passionate about. When Aaron here is talking about carbohydrates, guys.
Okay. I feel like I pushed a button.
I'm a rich, rich, deep veggie guy lifestyle.
Good.
People are like, whenever I'm not joining them
fiber
for a
rich,
cookie
nutrient
or anything else,
dense
people
carbohydrate.
People are like, where's your carbs? I'm like, you do know that there's multiple domains of carbs, right?
Yes.
So again, so you and I agree.
Fiber-rich, nutrient-dense carbohydrate.
Rich green veggies, like things like sweet potatoes, stuff like that. I mean, again, the older terminology people would throw around with the magazines was, well, is that a complex carb or is it a simple carb? I'm like, dude, You can't overeat on vegetables. I've tried. I can make the world's biggest salad. I'm good. I don't know. That's just me. Anyway.
Fair enough.
I don't know if you would agree with that, but I'm like, it's salad. And I make my own dressings.
I don't think you can go wrong with eating too much salad.
I do pure olive oil and pure vinegar. I don't buy any of the processed crap anymore from the stores because they're full of sugar as well. But I think that's an important lesson to bring our show to the end here on just carbs, because people don't understand that. They think, well, I'm an athlete. I got to have carbs.
You do. But that doesn't mean a Rice Krispie treat.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. So carbs, so definitely vegetables, fruits. And I'm not, I mean, I do utilize whole grains with some of my clients, because especially legumes, because you get a really good source of minerals along with that. Legumes are loaded with minerals. And I know in the paleo world, legumes have kind of gotten a bad rap, but I'm not afraid of them. They're a great source of fiber.
Again,
great
am
source
I 100%
of
paleo dude? No. What did we just say there earlier in the show? I was like, you know what? You make you adapt what works to your lifestyle. Guess what? I eat cheese. Oh, I'm not a paleo. I have no issues with dairy. I have no issues with cheese. It works in my lifestyle.
Absolutely.
And I love cheese and wine.
And you know, fair enough. Don't go near the cheese and wine. So fair enough. And you know, that's one of the things, again, as a nutritionist that I get a little upset with, is these generalized broad strokes. Nobody should eat dairy.
Right.
Not true. Some people shouldn't.
Yeah.
Other people can. It really depends on what your body is doing and how it interacts with your nutrients.
It goes back to, again, the nutrient density, but also on that subject, nutrient quality.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to geek out a little bit on proteins, I never knew.
Everybody's favorite macronutrient now.
Right?
Yeah.
So, but I drink shakes. Mm-hmm. And people are like, well, I have a dairy allergy, so I can't have whey protein. I'm like, no. I was like, technically, the dairy allergy is actually one of the rare. It's very rare. I don't know if you would agree with that. There's lactose allergies and other pieces of the dairy world that people
have. It's usually
have
a lactose intolerance.
Thank you.
And that's a missing.
A lot of people confuse the two. I was like, I've read the studies. Like, the percentage of risk of someone being an actual dairy allergy is very rare. And I said the biggest thing that I learned about this was thanks to my old roommate's dog. His dog had an inflammatory response to a lot of dog food. And they figured out that it was due to how the proteins were processed. And obviously, if you overprocess a protein when extracting it from milk, you can destroy a lot of its natural probiotics. We'll call it probiotics because everybody's all about drinking probiotics now. I don't drink them at all.
It denatures a lot of the proteins.
There's the word. I was waiting for you to bring it out. Okay. So there's denatured and undenatured. And I never knew what this was about. And the proteins I use are undenatured. And it's very hard to find that. But again, I'm sorry, I'm going to plug Isogenics. I love what they do. They care about quality. That's when I learned about that. And I had no idea. So now I can actually work with people who have issues with lactose, but they have no problems with the proteins that I work with because of me learning about what undenatured versus denatured means. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, okay. But really what taught it to me was watching my friend's Weinreiner dog try and eat denatured dog food. And now
he especially
orders the undenatured dog foods because all the natural enzymes are still there.
Helps your gut.
They haven't
process.
Been overly cooked and overly processed and destroyed. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, we've hyper-sanitized our environments, and it's done a number on our guts,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, not to geek out on it, but I think the non-scientist explanation is if you undenature it in a good way, they cook it in a low-temperature, high-pressurized environment, so it allows that stuff to survive, whereas most of the other companies like GNCs and vitamin shops, they don't care about quality. They just cook the crap out of it, and you kill
or
all
sourcing.
The enzymes.
I think it's
or
sourcing.
Yes.
I think it's really important that the dairy products are coming from a healthy cow.
Yes. Yeah, well, like for example, like we only work with New Zealand farms. They don't even trust our. I love USA, but and I grew up on a dairy farm. But I'm like, I will agree. I'm like, yeah, there's no consistency here. We're a mess.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately,
and they don't like anything bioengineered and GMO. And they said, listen, we're just gonna go buy stuff from grass-fed farms in New Zealand. So kudos, shout out to New Zealand. You guys have really beautiful countryside. I saw it on Lord of the Rings, the movie. It's gorgeous. I haven't been there yet.
Bucket list.
It is a bucket list. So we were closing out on carbs. We're closing out on proteins. I think the biggest thing that I was hearing out of those last couple of subjects from you is, again, it's about nutrient density, getting good, rich, quality food in. Whether you're paleo or whether you're a wild diet or whatever you're doing is focus on good, clean, whole, nutrient-dense foods.
Amen. That's the 100% the very best place to start.
Okay.
Minimally processed, nutrient dense, whole foods.
Okay.
Lots of color on your plate and not Skittles.
I love the color on the plate piece. Thank you. That's awesome too. So, and I know you have a heart out here today because we got to get you to go play with some technology. So,
woohoo.
for our listeners, and there's so much more. We got to get you back on because there's so many different things we can talk about on nutrition. But for our listeners, since they just got to meet you and learn about you today, all of our other co-hosts, I always give them the opportunity to have the final word of the show. What is there an all-encompassing mission that you mission or message that you're really trying to bring with your partnership with Mind of the Athlete to your clients and to your future customers out there? What is it that Aaron's trying to impact, I guess?
Gosh, that's a really great question. Right now, Dr. Megan Cannon and I are working really, really hard to bring about some change and how people approach their bodies and their health. We are starting a program and launching a group that's meeting at Mind of the Athlete starting January 9th called Balance. And it's all about approaching your body image and your nutrition from a healthy place to build health more than focusing on losing weight. And it's a passion of mine. I think so many people miss the boat trying to make the number on the scale smaller. They make themselves much less healthy. And again, like you had said, sometimes it's just because they don't understand how to do it well. So from the nutrition perspective, we're going to work on paradigm shifts and changes and how to approach your nutrition, what is best to nourish and support your body. And Dr. Megan is going to help us work on how to approach and filter through all the negative body image messaging that we're getting so that we can stop focusing so much on how we look and focusing a lot more on how we feel and focus on building a healthy body.
Wow, I love that because that's big picture thinking. That's what I like about that message. That's powerful, guys.
Thanks.
So to our listeners, if you didn't get anything else out of that show, we're definitely going to have to follow up episode on this balance piece and where they're taking this. I want to make sure you guys can follow along. Mind of the Athlete is doing some amazing things. I said it earlier in the show, and we said it multiple times. Obviously, you can find them everywhere on social media. They have a YouTube channel, Twitter, mindoftheathlete.com. Read up on Erin. She is a rock star with the rest of the PhD team over there. And again, guys, this is what we're talking about. We're here to fuel your health, your business, your lifestyle. I think you got a lot out of that today. I hope you did. Please continue to listen. Please give us a review on iTunes. Please get lots of downloads heading Aaron's way. Let's get her episode up there and rock starring it because nutrition is everything, guys. This is a healthy lifestyle. So again, thanks for listening in. Keep living the fired up epic life, guys. I'll talk to you guys again soon.
Thank you for listening to Live the Fuel. Visit us at livethefuel.com. Stay connected on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and more at Live the Fuel. Live the fired up epic life. Hashtag Live the Fuel.